Hello and welcome, my love, to the Sophia's Insider Podcast. In each episode, we dive deep into topics like manifestation, spirituality, healing, and all the good things that help you become the happiest, most confident, and fulfilled version of yourself. And I'm so excited to be talking about today's topic, which is healing your inner child. It is such an important thing in life, and when it comes to your manifestations and going after what you want. Because when you heal your inner child, you heal a lot of the wounds and the fears around asking for what you want and going after the things that you want. And that is definitely going to help you claim the life that you desire. So I'm so excited to help you with this topic, to support you in listening to yourself and your inner child. And let's dive in. I want to preface this by saying that your inner child is a part of you for your whole life. So it is your job to listen to it, to learn how to listen to it your whole life. It never stops. Healing your inner child is not a one and done job, because there may be things that come up. If you go after bigger and bigger things, your childhood wounds and your inner child wounds may still come up, and that is okay and that is normal. So don't beat yourself up about it, but learn to listen to yourself and your truth, and learn to set boundaries. That is a big, big part of healing your inner child. But before we go into how exactly to heal your inner child, I want to tell you how you can notice the wounds of your inner child in your life. I have this really handy sheet, and I'll tell you a little bit about it, because there are four different wounds that come up around your inner child, which is one, the abandonment wound, which is you fear of being left out, or that somebody will leave you, and that makes you hate being alone, or you're codependent. So that is a thing when you are afraid of abandonment and you've experienced abandonment in your childhood, that can affect you in your adult life, which makes you afraid of being left or getting really codependent and clingy with people and holding on to people who are not good for you or who are emotionally unavailable and make you always feel crazy for the things that you want and make you maybe a little bit of obsessive with people and them staying in your life, even if they're not good for you, even if they are emotionally unavailable, but you have that fear of being left. So you want to hold on to whatever there is, even if it's not something that supports the life that you want. So this wound, of course, can affect your manifestations and your life in the sense that you hold on to people, places, jobs that do not make you feel good and that do not support your growth. So when you heal that abandonment wound, you learn to go after the things that you want and learn to leave when it's time. You learn that it is a good thing and an okay thing to do to leave. And also, being left does not mean that there is something wrong with you. It just means that something isn't a match for you and not right for you. So that is a big, big thing a lot of us have and experienced in childhood. I know I was really afraid of being left alone at home when I was younger, till I was like 10 or 12. I'm not exactly sure the age, but I know there was, my mom needed to be with me at all times of the day. I was not comfortable with her going out even for a second and figuring that she may not come back. So that is really a thing that a lot of us have experienced, because I grew up with only my mom. So she was my safe person, she was my support person, but the way that she helped me through that was with just being okay with staying. She waited till I was comfortable with her leaving, and now I love being alone. I love going on dates alone. I've traveled alone and went to London, and I've flew to friends in America, and I traveled all over alone and sat in airports alone, or even in cinema. So I go on dates with myself now. I travel alone, and that is something I started doing by 16. By the time I was 16, I was traveling alone for concerts and everything, but that was because I learned to to heal that abandonment wound and that fear of being abandoned or left. So that is a really big thing that I want you to just notice in your life, where you may feel like you were holding on to things, and just ask yourself, am I holding on to things that are not good for me? Am I afraid of being alone or being left? Everybody's afraid of being left in a sense, because we don't want to lose the people that we love. That is completely normal. But do you notice yourself getting an obsession with people? You know, even if you notice they're not good for you, they don't make you feel good, but are you still really focused on them staying just because you want them to stay, just because you don't want to be the person they leave? Just look at yourself and your life. And of course, if you can ask about your childhood, or you remember things about your childhood, were there things where you felt abandoned? And that is also a really important thing when it comes to inner child healing. Just because you notice the wounds that you have experienced, or the things that you've experienced in your life, and they have negatively impacted you or traumatized you, does not mean that your parents are bad people. Because I remember before, when I wanted to look at my childhood and if there was things that traumatized me, and look at my wounds from my childhood, I did not want to see the things that maybe affected me negatively, because I did not want to think of my mom as a bad person. And she isn't, because we're all human and we make mistakes. Experiencing negative things from your parents or anybody in your life when you were a child does not make them bad people. Of course, that does not translate to, you know, your parents beating you or physically, emotionally, mentally assaulting you. That, of course, is not included in that. So please use discernment and be really clear about that. But just, you know, for me, I love my mom very much. She's my best friend. So looking at her in the light of like, yeah, maybe she did make mistakes as well, was very hard for me. And that is okay. But just realize that we're all people, we've all experienced things, and normally, in a normal circumstance, let's say it like that, the baseline was your parents had good intentions. Like I said, please leave that out, and things where like your parents intentionally traumatized you, that is not included in that. But if you're also someone who's very close with their parents, just remember, just because you notice the things that hurt you in your childhood does not mean that you are making them bad people or think that they are awful human beings. Just a side note. Then we also have the theme of the trust. That is also a big thing. I'm working on the trust thing, because it's the afraid of being hurt and doesn't trust themselves and always finds a way not to trust people. So if you notice yourself not trusting people in your life, not trusting their intentions, and being really afraid of showing your emotions or showing people how you feel, telling them your opinion, or feeling insecure and needing that external validation and not feeling safe around people. If you have that problem, if look at your childhood as well, is there a time where you did not feel like you could trust your parents or the people closest to you or your guardians? Were there a safe place for you? I notice for me, my trust in myself is high. Like, I trust myself, but a lot of times not other people. I don't like to trust people, and I've been working on that. So see how that trust wound shows up for you. Is it that you don't trust yourself and your opinions and your boundaries, or do you not trust other people because it was never safe to trust other people? So that is also a very, very big thing. Really seeing where trust, do you trust in life, in the flow of life? That can also show up in manifestations of not trusting the flow of the life and universe, and knowing that whatever you want, you will get, because you put that order into the universe and you're embodying that person every day. You're going after it. You are in the vibration of what you want, and you still feel like you can't trust that whatever you want, you will get. That is also a theme of the trust wound. So just look at that as well. Do you notice yourself not trusting yourself and the universe that you will get what you want? And I'll talk about later how you can heal all of this. And of course, like I said, in the abandonment wound, you can, dating yourself is a really great way of being comfortable with yourself, learning to be alone, and that being alone does not mean being lonely. It just means that you enjoy your company so much that you can appreciate yourself and your company, that it is great to have other people and it is important to have a support system, but you are not unable to live without other people. Then the trust wound is learning to trust in the flow of the universe. And trusting is something that you cannot force. You cannot just heal yourself and write down, I trust the flow of life, and then your trust wound is suddenly disappeared. But it is a way of learning to, one, trust in yourself. So when you notice your intuition telling you something is not good for you, trusting in that and going after that. And it is also about trusting other people. If you notice there are people who want to support you, who want to be there for you, but you always push them away, that is also a thing to look at, and maybe learn to, at least with one person, to start showing your feelings, sharing your opinions, and going out into the world with more of who you are, and trusting that the right people will receive you just as you are, in your fullness, in your truth, and they will love you for it. Also, with the trust wound, it can also happen that you attract people who don't feel safe to you. So just notice yourself and in your relationships, because one thing I love to remember is the saying that when you have experienced something traumatic in your childhood or in general in life, and you notice yourself repeating patterns, repeating relationship patterns, or in general life things that always happen the same way, that is because you were not in control of the time that you were traumatized or the time that made you feel like created that wound. So now you want to be in control. So you repeat the scenario and that experience again and again and again, trying to be in control, trying to create an environment where you can control the situation and do not feel like the person who's superior and experiences that wound. But what you have to understand is that control never creates safety. There is no safety in control, because when you try, you cannot control the world, you cannot control everything around you, and that will not give you the trust and the safety that you desire. So just one thing to keep in mind. Then we also have the neglect wound. So where you felt you were neglected and you were not taken care of, you weren't heard, and that can show up in struggling to say no, or having a low self-esteem, being fearful of being vulnerable, or struggling to let things go, or getting angry easily. It is all a part of feeling neglected in childhood. So it can also make you feel like you are, or you notice yourself being attracted to people who don't appreciate you or don't make you feel seen, because you weren't seen in your childhood. You weren't seen for who you are, your talents, your fears, your hopes weren't seen when you were a child. So that shows up as, you know, low self-esteem, struggling to say no, because you feel like you have no sense of yourself and there's no one who appreciates you for who you are. And that ties in also into the trust wound of trusting and learning to spend time with yourself. That is, for all of these, is a very big thing. And journaling also really helps, because it helps you learn your own, get to know your own thoughts and your opinions and what goes on in your life and your head. So learning to journal and just write things down, take just a paper out or a notebook and just write down whatever is on your mind. And that will help you connect to yourself more, and it will help you step into the world with a sense of knowing who you are and not feeling like you have to be the version that everybody likes or the version that everybody desires. Because I noticed a lot of times when you're struggling to say no, or you have low self-esteem and also repressed emotions, are all part of the neglect wound, because of course there was nobody who really cared or cared for you, so why would anybody else now in adulthood? And that is a really big thing, learning to care for your own emotions. So one thing I also love to do, there's this emotion wheel. I think it's called emotion wheel, which you can Google, and it shows you like the different, let me check. I'll check while we talk. But it's this wheel of emotions, and it's just not, you know, sadness, happiness. It also goes deeper and helps you identify your emotions. And I think that is really helpful. Yeah, it's called the emotion wheel. So you can Google that and you will see that, for example, you have the feelings when you are feeling sad, but you could also be feeling lonely or abandoned or hurt. So what is the sadness? What is there in the sadness? Specifically, what do you feel? I noticed that helped me a lot. As well as, like I always say, learn to embody your emotions. So what I don't want you to do is intellectualize your emotions and just start, you know, analyzing them like crazy. But instead, learning to listen to your body, feeling what comes up. And if you feel sad, you cry about it. You notice your emotions. And then as soon as you give yourself that safe space that, you know, maybe you need to hug yourself or listen to some sad music and lay in bed and cry. If that is good for you, do that. And then what helped me is realizing what I was feeling or am feeling. So am I feeling lonely? Is that why I'm sad? Or am I feeling ashamed of something? What is that sadness? Where did it come up from? And you don't always need to have a reason for your emotions. That is something I want to preface. So even if you feel lonely, you don't need to say, I feel lonely, because no. It is more about learning to listen to yourself and your body, learning to get to know yourself and your emotions so you can support yourself in the best way that you can. And of course, when you have these things, it is always great to have a support person for you who listens to you, who listens to your emotions, who can be there for you, and just hold space for you and be there for you fully without judgment. So if you have that person, that is great. Really connect to that person, tell them about how you feel, and just even if you go up and tell them, I'm not feeling good, I don't know why, I just need a hug, I need someone to be there for me. Learn to do that gradually. Sometimes, maybe at first, you just say, can you sit with me while I feel sad? And next time you might want to talk about it. So that is something that I would definitely suggest for your neglect, like the theme of when you felt neglected in childhood. And in terms of low self-esteem, I remember I loved to draw when I was a child, but I felt I wasn't good. And you know, it's the typical thing of kind of like capitalism and all the things where it's like, if you feel like you're not good at it or you can't make money out of it, it's not useful. And that is fucking untrue. So if you love to do something, like I said, like drawing or singing or whatever it is that is really gives you joy, do that for you, because it will support your self-worth and it will support your identity in knowing who you are, and it will build up your confidence. So just learn to do things, even if you're not doing them well, even if you think you're awful at it. Now that I look back, I'm like, I'm actually pretty good at drawing. I just didn't practice and just didn't take the time to do it, and that is why I felt I wasn't good at it, but not because I'm really bad. So that is an evolution you might notice as well, when you start doing things that you thought you were bad at and really enjoyed but you thought you were not good at, the more you do them and then look back at them, you realize that you were probably not as awful as you thought, and it was just all in your head. So do the thing that makes you so happy, even if you think you're bad at it. And then we also have the guilt wound, that is feeling guilty for literally anything you do. It is making you feel guilty for asking for the things that you want. It is making you say sorry or my bad, my fault all of the time. I remember this girl, I think it was on TikTok, where this girl said her feminist move is not moving out of the way when men walk on the same side of the street and she just bumps into them because she wants to stop being sorry and she also wants to show men, like, I as a woman take up space. So that is a really cool thing. But if that's too advanced for you, just start with noticing when you say sorry or my bad, my fault, is it truly? Are you truly sorry out of a place of I did something intentionally to hurt you, or there was something that was really my fault, my bad, even if it wasn't intentional, but did I actually cause this? Was I the cause of this? And is it really worth an apology, or is it just me being human? So just notice yourself if you struggle with feeling guilty for asking for things or for just existing. Notice yourself when you say sorry. Because I remember my mom used to tell me this, every time you say I'm sorry to someone, you're taking on their emotions. You're making yourself responsible for someone else's emotions. And I'm a person, I love to apologize if there was an incident, even if it wasn't intentional, but if I can notice, yes, what I did truly hurt you, it was my fault truly, then I am sorry. But otherwise, if it's like small things, start saying, I remember that. That's also a great thing to remember. Instead of saying, I'm sorry, start thanking people. Start thanking people if you're late. Start thanking people for their patience and just say, thank you for waiting. Or if someone moves out of the way or you bump, like if someone moves out of the way for you, instead of saying, oh, I'm sorry, you go first, say, thank you for making space for me. So instead of constantly apologizing for yourself, thank the people and give them gratitude for the things that they do for you, and that they, because you're not responsible to make everybody feel good. And I don't mean that you should not apologize to people who you care for and who you hurt, but I do mean in this instant, I know that you are a person who does, in fact, not intentionally hurt people and who apologizes way more than they should. So just be more intentional with when you're apologizing, and instead of always saying sorry, start giving gratitude to people. And the other thing with doesn't like to ask for a thing, so you don't like to ask for the things that you want, and that is something you truly have to learn. It is truly something that you have to learn to do with people, and what helps is being around people who are supportive. Because when you're in your, when you notice that guilt wound coming up, or that cycle of always feeling guilty for wanting things, that is when you normally attract people who also make you feel guilty, who tell you, yeah, you're selfish, or you're asking for too much, or what you want is too high of, like, your standards are too high. That is all things that play into your guilt wound, because you already feel guilty, you already feel like you want too much, and there is never a too much in wanting things. So just let me say that, and really say that, because there is, you can never want too much, and you can never have too high of standards. Like, your standards can never be too high. That is not possible, because anything that you desire exists and anything you want is valid. So if people make you feel shitty for wanting things, they're not people who should be in your life. Just saying, that is your thing, what you want to do with that. That was a quick break for the construction happening outside my house, but we're back to the regular scheduled program. So like I said, people who make you feel guilty for the things that you want are, in my opinion, not people that you should have in your life. Of course, that is your decision, but I learned people who think that you're too high maintenance or too demanding are not really the people who will help you get where you want to be. But that is, in fact, your decision. So we had the four wounds, which were the guilt wound, the trust wound, the abandonment wound, and the neglect wound. And all of these show up. You may have a mix of all of them, or just one or two. Whatever it is, all of these things can show up in your life. And like I said, All of this, of course, affects your manifestations, because when you have a low self-worth, you think you're not deserving of the things that you want. If you feel like you are not allowed to ask for things, you feel selfish for truly asking for what you want. So you may ask for something not as, in quote unquote, big or high standard or demanding, because you think you're wanting too much. And all of these things affect how you live your life. And that is, of course, something that I would like to support you in changing, because I realized when I really connected to my inner child and I took care of her, that I became way more confident and I attracted different people and I learned to take no shit, honestly. And that is what I want truly for everybody, to take no shit. Because when I was younger and when I was in school, I was so afraid of speaking up. I was so shy. I did not want to talk in class. I was so afraid that people were going to talk behind my back and that I would be like really rejected or bullied. So instead of putting myself in that position of being bullied for who I am, I just blended into the background. And I had great friends. Truly, I have to say, I have great friends who've supported me through school, and they are the most amazing people. They were the sweetest people, but I just know that I was always afraid of showing who I truly am. Because yes, I can be demanding, I can be really loud and crazy, but that is who I am. And I think that is why people love me, but I've never showed anyone, especially in that time, and I was so afraid. I love fashion and you know, makeup and doing colorful looks and maybe just looking, sometimes looking like a piece of art, not like a beautiful thing to look at, not something that is deemed in society's standards of women like the beautiful, fuckable girl, but instead, you know, the thing that makes me happy, that makes me playful, that makes me so filled with joy. So that is what I want to tell you, really, that wherever you are in life, and if you feel really shy and you feel like you're too demanding or you're too loud or not loud enough or you're not pretty enough or not cool enough or whatever it is, that is untrue. You are right exactly as you are, and you are perfect the way that you are, because how you are is how you're meant to be. And healing these things is helping you to uncover your true self and helping you step into your true self. So that is what I want to make clear, that when it comes to healing and when it comes to manifestation, it is not about changing who you are. It is, you know, peeling off the layers and the lies and shedding the lies about who you think you are and what people made you think about yourself. So when I remember back at the girl who was very shy, didn't want to talk, even though I love talking, as you may notice, like I can talk for hours and never get tired, I did not do it. And I remember, you know, I didn't want to give my all because I was so afraid that, you know, when I was in school and we had our exams, I was so afraid of them coming back bad or with, you know, with low grades or not good. I was so afraid of that, that I just didn't give my all and that I didn't give my best or didn't study or didn't really put myself in the position to even be good at something because I was so afraid of failing. So it was like, if I plan my failing and if I plan like my being in the middle of, you know, not being noticeable, then that is a good thing, that is controllable. So really, it is, for me, it was about learning to let go of the control and learning to really step up for myself. And you have to see for yourself what comes up for you when you look at your childhood, when you look at your inner self. You can do that through guided meditations, and you can do that, of course, to just a silent meditation and saying, I'm connecting to my inner child, I want to hear what you need. And another thing that I really love to do, which is like my favorite way to connect to your inner child, is looking at a picture of yourself as a child. If you have that, if you don't, that's okay too. Just imagine yourself as your inner child, or as a child, and then ask your inner child, what did they need when they were younger? What did they crave and did not get? Was it someone listening to them? Was it someone supporting them, creating safety? Did they feel safe? Did they feel left out or abandoned? What did they feel and what do they need from you? Because now as an adult, it is your time to step up for yourself and be the parent, because your parents, they can help to a degree, and it helps talking things out with your parents if you have parents who are open to that. But at the end of the day, it is your job to reparent yourself. It is the work for you to take care of yourself now. And it may seem daunting or scary, but in a way, it is really liberating, because that means nobody outside of you has the control. Nobody outside of you has the control to influence your life and your decisions anymore. It is not on them anymore if you can achieve what you want or if you can have what you want, but it is on you. So just a perspective shift. Instead of seeing something scary, see it as an opportunity, because that means nobody is holding you back. And you're not holding yourself back, you're just learning this. So have grace with yourself in that. And just ask yourself, what did you need as a child? I also talked about it in my masterclass, Powerfully You, the key to your true power, where I'll go into the guide to manifestation, inner child healing, and all the most important things to connect back with yourself, how to manifest, and all the good things that help you really step into the most powerful version of you and use manifestation and all of these healing techniques to become the version of you that you want and manifest anything you want. So if you want to check that out, it will be in the description and of course on all my social media. So I definitely recommend that to you if you want to learn how to put it all into place, to know how does inner child healing help me in my manifestations and, you know, in just in general, a deeper guide in healing, manifestation, and attracting whatever it is that you want. But going back to the inner child healing, like I said, ask yourself, what did your inner child need? And then when you come up with things like safety, I needed someone that made me feel safe, whether it is physically, so someone who gives you a safe space and makes your body feel safe, or if it's you know, verbally, someone who makes you feel safe to say anything that you want, to say no, to put up boundaries. All of these things are a great indicator of what you can do for yourself now. So like I said, for example, if you hate being alone, if you are afraid of being alone, date yourself. And you can start small. You can go on a walk alone. And at first, maybe with a podcast like this one, or listening to some music. And the next time, maybe alone, without music, nothing that can distract you from you and your thoughts. And maybe the next thing is going out for coffee, or I love matcha, so going out for matcha and reading a book. And next time, you maybe don't even need a book. You're just with yourself, enjoying your presence and starting to do all these things. And if you notice you're afraid to set boundaries, then ask yourself, what are my hard boundaries? And practicing saying no and setting up boundaries, because boundaries are not for other people. If you tell someone a boundary, the boundary that you have, it is not on them to uphold or take care of you or support that boundary, but is on you to notice, okay, do they recognize my boundary and are they okay with that boundary? Do they accept that boundary, or do they do not give a fuck? If they don't give a fuck, that is time for you to go and say, no, that is my boundary. I will not have that and I'm leaving. Because a boundary without enforcement and action is just a suggestion. You're just suggesting how you would like to be treated. So really look at yourself and look at the boundaries in your life. Where can you set more boundaries and uphold them for yourself? I could honestly talk about this topic like for hours, but it is really all about you and listening to your inner child, listening to the things that they really needed, and then taking care of those things. If you needed someone who you wanted someone to make you feel safe in your body, how can you do that for yourself? Can you put on, like, do a self-care routine where you really take care of your body, or can you hug yourself, or do exercises like yoga or breathing or meditation that relax you and make you more present. Whatever it is that you need, give that to yourself. So that is one part of healing your inner child, because a lot of times people only talk about the part of start drawing, and like I said, it's a great thing to do that again, or start like wearing colorful clothes. And I always suggest that there are two parts to healing your inner child, and the one is building up your safe, like your self-worth and creating safety in your life and your body, and the other part is the playing and having fun. Both these parts are equally needed and beneficial. So just create one, a really safe and fun and loving space for yourself, and at the same time learn to set boundaries, learn to listen to yourself, learn what are your opinions and thoughts through journaling, through meditation, and really go all in on you, because this life is yours, baby. So take care of you and your body, your truth. And that is all I have for you for today and all on healing your inner child. Definitely make sure to follow me on Instagram, because I'm going to do like polls where you can send in your questions. And of course, going to talk with you in the DMs. You can send me suggestions for podcast episodes. And yeah, just having a fun time. So make sure to follow me on Instagram so we can connect a little bit more. And like I said, if you want to dive deeper into this topic of healing, manifestation, really going after what it is that you want and learning how to attract anything that you desire, then make sure to check out my masterclass, Powerfully You. And I'm so excited to see you next episode. Have a great day, and I love you so much. Bye.